Hi, everyone. Welcome back to High Octane Real Estate with Pam Orzan. Today's topic, don't trust those lion eyes. Get more info. So pretty much hidden costs in buying or selling real estate. People think they know. People, you know, they talk to their realtor. The realtor may tell them, you know, here's what you're going to pay, blah, 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 one, two, three. But, you know, let's dive a little bit deeper into some of those things. And then at the end, we're going to get into, of course, headbanger housing. All right. So let's talk about on the buying side, right? So you hear a lot about insurance in South Florida. And, you know, it depends on your property, its location. If you are east of 95 and you do have a mortgage, you are required to have windstorm insurance, okay? But what I always say, you know, just shop it around, first of all, and know your deductibles, know what is, like, required. Because I actually sold, I think I may have mentioned this on one other podcast, on one other episode. I sold a mobile home. It was the first and only mobile home. I can't even say I sold it because it actually did not close. Okay, so in West Boca, Watergate Mobile Home Park, and this girl was buying it from me, and we did a seller's, I had the buyer, and the seller did a seller's disclosure where it's pretty much like basic stuff the seller knows about the house, and it did mention that there was flood insurance, but she signed it without reading it, which, you know, you guys know my rule. If you listen to High Octane Real Estate, you know, read what you sign. Oh my God. But anyway, we get to, and it was, you know, obviously an inexpensive home, but she had $3,000 escrow deposit put down on this house, on this mobile home. And she lost it because she was very angry that there was flood insurance. At that time, this was a really long time ago, flood insurance was like $350 for an entire year. And she lost her shit and started yelling at me, the lender, anybody she possibly could. And all I had to do is say, honey, you signed the seller's disclosure. Why would you sign that without reading it? And by the way, you know, in South Florida here, almost everything is a flood zone. I mean, we did, you know, remap a few years ago, Palm Beach County remapped, but you just kind of have to know to expect flood insurance, right? And you're in a mobile home, for God's sakes. So anyway, she wasn't understanding and got angry instead of using her brain and lost her deposit. She actually walked away from the home, the mobile home, and lost over $350 flood insurance policy. She lost her $3,000 deposit. Now, I don't care if you're wealthy, if you are on a budget, $3,000, who wants to just lose that? That just, whatever. So anyway, you know, kind of know what you're getting into, what they're going to cost, and what your deductibles might be if there is a problem. So I always, you know, talk to your agent about that. And you guys have spoken to mine, Robert, listen to Robert on my podcast. So anyway, okay. So now next would be HOA and condo assessments, okay? So we've been talking a lot about that because in Florida, we now have to have the condos doing the right thing, right? Get their money together, get their reserves together. Make sure that they have enough reserves. Make sure there's no upcoming assessments. And, you know, granted, if you're buying, say you buy a house in like February, you're not going to know what's going to happen for 2027, right? You're going to only know what happens now. But for the following year, say you're closer to the other end of the half of the year, and maybe the minutes, which you are now required to be able to see of the meetings, are saying they're talking about, oh, you know, maybe next year we're going to resurface the pool and we're going to do the pool deck and we're going to buy all new furniture for the pool. Or that, you know, it's on the water and they need to do a seawall. You kind of get an idea of what they're talking about for the future years. And you have to really be prepared that there may be a large special assessment, and especially depending on what their reserves look like. So that's something to really watch out for that people don't see coming. Maintenance, cost of maintenance. Okay. You buy a home, get a home inspection. You know, the big things, we definitely try to price those out. Some home inspectors will even give you a range. But, you know, sometimes things break literally the day after you close. It happens all the time. I see it all the time. It's Murphy's Law. You buy a house, refrigerator dies the next day. You know, whatever. So it's just unexpected little costs. Something is working one second and then it's not. And even some of the things that the home inspector finds, you think you can hold out on, and maybe you can't. So kind of know the condition and have some money. You know, the first year when you buy a house, especially for first-time home buyers, their first year is kind of, you're kind of cash poor. You bought a house, you bought all the furniture for it. You know, you're very excited, but you're cash poor now. So just know to have some reserves so that in case one of these types of things happen, you know, oops, you know, washing machine breaks like mine just did. And I spent the morning in BrandsMart, but whatever. Okay, I digress. Okay, so next, your FPL bills, your water bills. Now, yeah, some condos, you don't have a water bill necessarily. You have a very low water bill, or the HOA or condo pays for it. But FPL bills, Florida Power and Light, right? Just know, like, you're buying a house in February, your FPL bill could double in August here in South Florida. Especially, you've got an east-west house, right? East-west facing house, windows everywhere. You know, so always ask the seller, can I see a copy of your Florida Power and Light? What is it in the summer? You may have a home that has a pool heater. It is very expensive to run your pool heater. So unless it's on gas, which down here almost nothing is, just kind of know that that's going to really jump your FPL bill. Maybe there's poor insulation in the attic. I know in my house, Janine can attest, my house is always freezing. It never really warms up, which is good in the summer. Right now it's been cold, but it's great in the summer because I have good insulation. I'm a north-south. So my bills kind of stay, you know, they jump up, of course, in the summer, but not by that much, maybe $30, okay? So just kind of know what you're dealing with when you're asked for what the FPL bills are and how much it costs to run the pool heater in the summer. Next, I would say landscaping. Okay, HOAs down here, most everything's an HOA. Know that many of them do not cover tree trimming, and tree trimming is the most expensive part. You have a dead tree in the backyard, holy shit, you've got to pay to have that taken down. And guess what? You're going to get little love notes from that HOA making you do it. So that's going to be a cost that maybe you didn't realize you had because you're like, oh, the landscapers, they come in with the HOA fees and they mow my lawn and they trim my bushes. And now I have to remove this tree for a couple grand. Okay, so just know that that could be your responsibility. And if we move on to the seller side, you know, you think like buyer beware, right? But sellers have some pretty costly things that just pop up. First of all, same thing with them. Like they could put their house on the market, refrigerator dies, right? I mean, they just have no choice. You can't sell the house with a dead refrigerator. You can't, you know, there's a couple little things like we sell houses where maybe the pool heater isn't warranted because it's not working. You know, those do break a lot. So, okay, fine. You know, you don't need to like live, you know, you don't need a pool heater to live. Refrigerators, washer, dryers, of all your appliances, you need those to be working. So just know that that could happen at any time. So be prepared for that. And you are responsible to fix it. And I don't want to hear, no realtor wants to hear, I'm just going to let it go. Closing cost assistance. You know, this when you're dealing in a neighborhood where maybe you have first-time home buyers or young families, they may need some closing cost assistance. So you just, you know, be aware of that and, you know, decide. It depends on the offer, of course, of what you're going to take. You know, maybe there's other terms that are worth it for you to cover some of their closing costs, but that may be something that you're asked to do. Insurance and roof. Down in Florida, we know that is a huge problem, which is causing some of the insurance issues here. So you're going to have to negotiate. You know, you've got an old roof. You're going to have to negotiate that because their insurance is going to be much higher. And I actually did one listing where we tried to offer a credit for maybe like the first year's insurance, right? The seller would offer a credit for the first year's homeowner's insurance if, say, the roof was really old. That way, you know, they know they're going to have to do a roof next year, but at least they don't have to do it right away. They can pay the expense of insurance and not worry about it and have the seller credit them at least towards it or even for the whole thing, right? Okay, now what happens if you are selling your house and you buy another one, but maybe you're renovating it and you can't live in it yet. Or maybe there's a post-occupancy and the seller needs to stay for an extra month or something, right? And, you know, they'll pay you rent or whatever. But just know you may have temporary housing once you have to pay for your temporary housing, you also have to pay for your movers twice. So keep that in mind as well. And if you have to store any furniture, the movers are charging you for that as well. So moving costs, any, you know, Airbnbs, hotel stays, long-term rentals until you get a house renovated, whatever it might be. And if that's the case too, just be prepared that if you're renovating a house, it's going to take longer than they tell you. I am just guaranteeing that right now. And then also, like, if that's the case, like say you're able to buy a home and your other one isn't sold, there's going to be a mortgage overlap, you know? So there's two payments, or you have your house for sale here, you're relocating to, say, Texas, right? You've got a rent there and you're still paying the bills on the home here. So always keep those things in mind and run the numbers on all the stuff that I just talked about, because when you're buying and you have a budget, or when you're selling and you either have a budget to buy something else or a certain amount that you need to get out of it, you know, these little hidden costs, you're like, oh, I know about insurance. Well, yeah, but did you know what, you know, that you're required to have the windstorm insurance and what that costs? That could be almost the same amount as your homeowner's insurance for the year. And then that deductible. So if there is an issue, you're going to have to meet that deductible. So it's just the little stuff that goes with the things that you think you already know that pop up and, you know, scare the living shit out of you. So short and sweet list, I think, today. But just know, you know, ask your realtor, get all the information. Don't get excited. Don't get so excited because you saw a house you love and think it's all going to be okay. Anyway, so we're moving on to Headbanger Housing. You ready, you guys? We've got Roy here today, too.
I am.
You're excited? Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, Janine, you're going to go first. What is one rule that you absolutely ignore because you think it feels optional?
Picking up my dog's poo-poo.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, I'm not a very strict person when it comes to that, because the dog could be, you know, it may be in the middle of the night and it's dark and I just don't want to pick up poop.
Right. What if somebody's watching?
I try to look around. I look so suspect. I'm sure people are staring at me.
Right.
In their windows. And I just got a notice on my door. We all did. So it's not just me, that there are people that, and granted, I have small dogs, but there are people that have Dobermans and
their poop is huge.
Huge, right, that are not picking up their dog poop.
Right.
So we just got a notice that said that if someone catches us, it is a $75 fine. And if we do it again, they are taking legal action against us.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's harsh.
That's harsh for dog poop.
So, I know.
Anyway, yeah.
All right.
I'm not great at it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I was saying, I think like when Bella was alive, you know, it would depend on – I'm a pretty decent dog picker-upper. I am pretty decent at it, dog poop picker-upper. Mm-hmm. That could be a little side gig, I guess.
They have people that do that. They make a lot
of money. I know. There's
like
a whole company that come. You pay them.
Yeah.
And they come out and they clean your dog shit.
That's right.
I don't know that I would want to have it like sitting in the yard that long, like that much poop, like monthly. Like what do they come, monthly? I don't know. Weekly?
I don't know.
Anyway – but when it was like loose or like so far in the grass that I couldn't even find it sometimes, because that's what they do, right? They like to walk away to poop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then, okay, I would leave it. But I'm usually pretty good about that. But yeah, there are times where I'm definitely like, anybody watching? Because I'm not going to go hunting in the dark, in the grass, you know, for poop. I don't know. All right, Roy, you're up.
So standing on the top of the ladder.
There's a big sign usually on top of it that says.
Yeah, I'm a short guy. So, you know, I even my 3 foot, my 6 foot ladder, I stand on the top of it. I've gotten used to it. And even my clients go, God, a good thing OSHA doesn't come around here because I've mastered it.
Well, good thing you are kind of short then if you're going to do something like that because, right? Like if you think like a six two, you know, 250 guy. He like that, right, that ladder would topple.
Damn, he's 56 years old. When is that going to – he can't do that forever. He's going to – I mean, if he were 20 or 30, yeah.
Yeah,
but
Roy's magical. Roy's magical. He really is. He can do anything.
Well, I guess I got good balance.
Yeah.
He's got a great butt, too.
Right. He's just magical.
He is.
All right. All right. So what is a rule that I absolutely ignore because it feels optional? I think most of you know it would be the speed limits. I mean, I really just feel like there should be like a minimum speed rather than a maximum speed. I don't know.
I agree.
You know, I mean, it's not like I need to do 90 down Atlantic Avenue, but like, what's the difference if the speed limit's 45, which by the way, all of you guys from New York and New Jersey, it's 45, not 35. I promise you it is. You can go 46. Okay. But I think if it's 45, like, why can't I go 60? Like, is that really, I don't know. As long as I have all my faculties and I'm not hearing impaired, sight impaired, you know, I do think as you age, you should probably slow it down a bit. But I don't know. I think if you're a good driver, like, why does it really matter that much? And especially going anywhere like west of Military Trail on Atlantic Avenue, they're all going so slow that you kind of have to weave in and out and speed it up to get all around them just to get anywhere.
There are people that drive on Atlantic Avenue that definitely should not drive on Atlantic Avenue, especially, yeah, where more towards where I live by Kings Point in that area.
Yes.
And it's very scary and I don't like to honk at them because I feel like
they won't hear it.
Well, not only that, I feel like what if I startle them and they crash into something or they stop on their brakes quickly and then I run into the back of them. Like their response time and
right.
that is not as
they just
great.
Pull out. Like, was it yesterday? No, it was this morning actually. I stopped at my mom's house this morning and I had to head out towards the turnpike and it was like three people just randomly pulled out in front of me for literally like just not looking, just not for no reason, like not looking at all. They just pulled right out. So I feel like...
And their big Cadillacs or their Buicks.
Yeah, so I know I'll probably get yelled at for anybody listening to this episode going, well, then that's why you should drive slower. But I think sometimes I drive faster to get away from them, you know?
I do too. I will speed to get away from them.
Exactly.
And then go right in front of them and cut them off.
Yeah. But I never... Everyone's like, people get in the car, you know. We have one girlfriend who shall remain nameless, Carolina. That, you know, she's like, the speed limit is whatever. And I'm like... I don't care. Like, I don't know. You know, I know because the speed limits, I know because they're just like generic, like 95 is 65 miles an hour, right? I know Atlantic Avenue because I live off of Atlantic Avenue is 45 miles an hour. But like, I don't know.
But then there's that speed. Then it goes to 35 in front of Atlantic High School.
Right. For like 2 seconds.
And that's where they wait.
I know. And why 35? I mean, those are grown kids.
Because it's still a school zone.
I know. It's not a school zone. It is not actually a school zone.
Yeah.
I think high schools don't have school zones.
Huh.
Yeah.
Then I don't know.
It's stupid. Right. All right. Another fascinating episode of High Octane Real Estate. I hope you guys learned something. I know I talk fast, especially when I don't have a guest. But hopefully you got something out of it. And you know what you have to do, right? You've got to download. You've got to listen. And you've got to leave me a 5-star review. Or I'm going to hunt you down.